It's just 5:15. I know Steve Hutt will be joining us, but he's on the agenda at the end, so hopefully he'll get off before we get to him. Is that okay with everybody? Anyone who you feel was supposed to be calling in that's worth waiting for?
I have the district attorney right now. He should be...
Perfect. Okay, so I'm going to call the meeting to order. Can I have a motion to approve the March 4th minutes? And, well, I guess I'll do them separately. The March 4th minutes?
I'll make that motion, Heidi.
Second?
Second.
John Hefner, all in favor?
Aye.
No hands, I guess? Okay, great. Good. Motion to approve the March 17th special meeting minutes?
I'll make that motion, Heidi.
Second?
Second.
All in favor? Aye. I'll just say opposed, just so we can go through it. Abstain. That way, if Jay misses anything, you'll have a chance. Okay, so the first resolution we have is resolution number 149, approving the execution of a contract amending causing aggregate contract. This is for the Visual Computer Solutions. By the sheriff, a motion to discuss?
Moved.
Second?
Second.
Heidi? Okay, any discussion? Juan, is there anything you want to tell us about this? I know it's a continuous funding, but...
It's our payroll program that we use for the members of the office.
Anyone have anything else they want to discuss? All in favor of resolution number 149?
Aye.
All opposed? Abstain? So that's all in favor. All right, next we have resolution number 136, authorizing the chair of the legislature to execute a grant to the Department of Justice Bureau. This is for comprehensive opioid stimulant and substance abuse site plan program for the sheriff's office. This is just to allow the sheriff's office to apply. A motion to discuss?
I'll move it.
Okay, second. So John moves, Heidi second. Juan, is there anything you want to share about this?
We put in for a similar grant last year. We had this great team that we put together. So it's the same grant, and I sent an email earlier to Jay in regards to the overdoses compared from last year to this year. We're at a 49% increase for the last 3 months, the months of January, February, and March, as you can see. And so this epidemic of overdoses is continuing, and I think if we can get a grant like this, it's a collaborative effort and under one roof rather than having many tentacles that you can't control. It'll be a benefit to the county. We're doing as much as we can here with Oracle. Most of those people that you see that are non-fatal overdoses, we have touched either by individually talking to them or putting them in a rehab. We just put two folks in a rehab today. So the purpose of this grant is to put a unified criminal justice law enforcement face to it, and we're hoping that we'll get this grant this time around.
Great. Any other comments or discussion from other members?
It's a major problem. It's just terrible. It's not going away, Ron. I wish you well. I just don't think anything's working right now. Maybe someday offline I'll chat with you about it a little bit, but it's a mess.
I know, John, and I know that you care. I saw you up in Delaware County, and I know you're involved in it, and I know that this is something that's affecting all of us. So I'm just trying to do something to make a change, and I appreciate you. Thank you.
I do have a question for the sheriff. It's Heidi.
Go ahead, Heidi.
Sheriff, where were you able to get them into a facility? Was it Arms Acres, Conifer Park, or you said you sent two? Because I know
I think it was out in Pennsylvania. I don't know the name of the place, but we, I can get that information to you.
No, that's okay. I just know that we've had some shifting around of services regarding the detox being, you know, some people went to different areas over in Dutchess and whatnot, and I know that some people in the recovery community had some pretty big concerns regarding this, so I just want to make sure that if there is really anyone in need, in immediate need, that we're able to place them wherever they need to go.
We've been pretty successful, and people have been pretty good. Just going back to this particular grant, they changed the verbiage on it where it encompasses not just opioids, but any substance abuse. So that's what the difference is with this particular grant, which is going to kind of expand on what we're looking to do here. So as you know, and just to, since I have a second, OASIS, there was a grant that was actually a funding item by the state last year that was $50,000 that OASIS controls and has to give to the Department of Health, and that we can utilize here for any type of expenditures on actual drugs that we're giving in regards to you know, rehab here in this facility. And we're working on getting that you know, rolling the next couple of months or so. And we'll talk more about that as I find out, but I just want to throw that out there.
So, Juan, are you thinking of adding, like, meth to this so with the hotline, it's not just for opioid overdoses, but also meth and other overdoses?
So meth is a big issue up in Delaware County, and I think at some point it may come down here. So I'm trying to keep in front of the different drug issues that may be coming our way. And so this will encompass that. And as you know, we got an email back of what was wrong with the grant last time. So we're going to identify those shortcomings and try to beef it up and be more reasonable, because I think some of the numbers that we kind of put out there for the budget side of it were not really reasonable. So we're going to look at it, redo it, and hopefully we'll get it.
So in full disclosure, I wrote with the sheriffs the other grant, and I'm happy to help you with this. I'm not on it, and I don't receive any money for it, so I don't have, I think it's reasonable for me to vote on it, because I don't gain anything one way or another. I just assist in the process, and I'm happy to continue to assist.
Thank you.
Any other discussion? All in favor of approving Resolution 163? Aye. All, any opposed? Abstain? So that's all in favor? Okay. Thank you. Next, we have Resolution 164, authorizing the chair to execute a lease agreement with the town of Wawarsing for a substation to the Ulster County Sheriff's Office. Again, this is a continuation of a lease. What is it, like $300 a year or something like that? Motion for discussion, to open discussion?
I'll move. This is happening.
Second?
Payne, second.
Okay, any discussion? Okay, motion to approve Resolution 164.
I make the motion.
Sorry, all in favor of Resolution 164? Sorry. Against? Abstain? Okay, so everyone's in favor. Thank you. Next, we have Resolution 170, appointing a member to the Ulster County Fire Advisory Board. Motion to open discussion. Hefner, Heidi, or Haynes, second. Any discussion on this? I'll say we didn't get the specifics, but we got a really good email sort of describing the person. And we didn't get a resume, but we got a, right?
Did you get the name?
Yes. Jay, do you have the name? And the person came very with a very good reference.
We did.
We can't hear you.
Wow. Tech support. We actually did get a resume last minute. I don't know if maybe you downloaded your materials before I added it and then re-uploaded. So he did come at the recommendation of the Saugerties Department and then the Fire Advisory Board.
And the name?
Is Chris. Frank Kiernan. He's replacing John Heppner of the Saugerties John Heppner variety.
Okay. Right. John?
But so do we have to make, because the resolution I have just has Corey Kiernan, do we have to make an amendment to add that name?
No, that's the name.
Corey Kiernan? Oh yeah, because there's a resume here for him.
Right. I think it came after. Okay, all in favor of approving the member to the Ulster County Fire Advisory Board?
Aye.
Against? Abstain? Oh, are you against, or are you just a delayed in favor, John?
Oh, sorry, I was just delayed.
Oh, no, sorry, parody. Are you?
I said that I raised my hand when I saw you raise your hand.
Okay, so everyone's in favor. I'll ask slower. Okay, so next, under new business, we have the district attorney is going, if you all recall, the funding for IPVI got stopped through DCJS. Really stopped through the federal government halting payment to DCJS. And this was very unexpected. And we agreed to make a change in the resolution that it didn't have to stop the programming right away. But we also had the understanding that the district attorney would present to us the benefit and make an argument in favor or against the continuation of this type of programming. So I'll hand this over to you, Dave. Unmute. Try making your volume higher. If your volume is on. So the other choice is you can try dialing in on your phone. I'm going to give Dave a chance to regroup and just check. Is there any other new business that anyone else wants to talk about? Tracy's. We're just going to know while Dave figures himself out. Tracy, go ahead.
Okay, thank you so much. It's a question for both Dave when he comes back and for the sheriff. I was just wondering if you, Sheriff, could give us an update in terms of the jail population and if we're doing anything. I've heard about communities across the state that are doing things to allow for early release for people who are close to release and et cetera, because of the risks of COVID in a confined population.
Sure, and I can definitely answer that. So our population is 118. We actually released at the request of the district attorney's office and the county court judge McGinty. I submitted a list to them of folks that had less than 30 days and had underlying medical conditions. And they had relatively minor charges like DWIs and they were released. The court, remember, I don't have the authority to release unless the court releases. So I sent the list to District Attorney Dave Clegg, who in turn worked with the Public Defender's Office and the sitting County Court Judge, Judge McGinty. And we had 8 individuals that were released under those auspices, and 2 that were released via parole. These, again, were folks that had minor parole violations and were released. I gave an entire list to the district attorney, but most of the other individuals that were on there are waiting state time that had underlying conditions. And we are not, the state is not accepting anybody at this point because of the coronavirus. So we have them here. Now, there is a stipulation that if they're here more than 10 days and they belong to the state, that they eventually have to pay us for that. So we'll wait to see what that happens. But all the governor has to do is waive that, and of course, we're not going to be able to do that. So the safety of the population. You know, I was one of the first ones in the Hudson Valley, one of the first ones that shut down visitations when we had one confirmed coronavirus in the county. And we immediately, there's one entrance into the Ulster County Law Enforcement Center. You have to wash your hands and you get a temperature check when you walk in. All the corrections officers have to wear a mask if they're dealing with the inmates. Any new inmates that come in will be in isolation for 10 days. They go through a questionnaire, they get a temperature check. We've also given $5 per week. There was one week I gave $10. It was like the second or third week when the numbers started going high for phone calls. So they're able to get phone calls. We're bringing in four DVDs to set up some movie channels so they're able to watch some movies. Again, it's more so in protection of our people as well as giving them something to do because all the programs were also postponed. Now, if it's an emergency clergy visit or legal visit, those are still going on, but there'll be, non-contact visits. We also started our virtual court. We're averaging about 3 to 6 arraignments here at the Ulster County Law Enforcement Center for all the agencies in the county because a lot of them don't have business Skype and they didn't have the equipment. So we set it up in conjunction. And the way it works is an individual makes, the police agency makes an arrest. They contact one of the 7 judges that are able to do these arraignments. The 7 judges were selected and there's a list of them because they have adjoining towns and they're able to do the arraignment and they have accounts via business Skype. The judge is required to contact the prosecutor and the defense attorney or the public defender's office and send an invite out, a business Skype invite that we get, and the agency calls us up and lets us know that they're coming down for the arraignment, and we have people that are trained, and we have the equipment set up at the jail side. We've also done hearings in regards to county court for those that are incarcerated here as a part of the population, and we've done parole hearings, probation hearings, all within the facility. So we have 2 different sections, one that's open to the public with the Skype for arraignments, and then we have court hearings, parole, probation for those that are incarcerated here, and they're all up and running. And we did that within 2 weeks and got authorization from OCA to do that. We worked in conjunction with Judge Kasich, who's the president of the magistrates of Ulster County.
One of the interesting things is, I mean, this is under the category of silver linings that will come out of this pandemic is allowing us to try things that are directions we really needed to go in anyway. For those who know, with the Harrell-Herring lawsuit, this was all about finding a better way to have counsel on arraignment and having centralized arraignment. And here we are already testing a mechanism that will allow for that kind of thing so that when this pandemic is over, we know that we can do this kind of thing and this will really improve our capacity to have counsel on arraignment for perpetuity because we were forced to test it, now we're doing it. But I have one quick question. Is there any circumstances or conditions on these releases, or is it just viewed as they've served their time and they're gone?
They've served their time.
Tracy?
Yeah, so the people that we've let go, they've served their time.
And if I could ask just a follow-on to that question. So you said that you had provided the list, Sheriff, to the DEA and the courts for those that were under 30 days. Are you going to reevaluate if this time gets extended out, or are you confident that given the look over of the list that everyone who is within, who fits that category has been?
Well, it was several things in the category. Medical underlying conditions and under 30 days and depending on the charges. I don't have the authority to release. That's up to the court, and I need a court order to release in the district attorney's office, and that was spearheaded by the district attorney.
Well, I want to just thank you both for all you've done, and even the $5 that you provided to the inmates. I know when I read about that, I was really happy that you had done that. I'm someone who has spoken about the commissary fund for years and years and years, and I could actually say that from my perspective, that was an example of actually using it for what it was intended for. So thank you very much for that, and thank you to the DA for moving on those early releases for the protection of our citizens.
Legislator Parody?
Yeah, Sheriff, if I heard you right, you're what, about 30-35% of capacity right now?
That's correct.
How's the staff doing, all right? Because it's got to be way on everybody's mind a little bit.
Well, you know, we're actually down with the people that are retiring and resigning. We're down about at the end of the month, we'll be down 14 corrections officers. And as you know, there's a freeze on hiring right now. But everything seems to be, thank God, nobody has contracted the virus here at the facility. We did have two deputies though that did test positive, but they're back to work already. So it's been minimal, and we have protocols in place to safeguard. We set up 2 5-man teams that have full PPE equipment in case they have to deal with somebody that has the coronavirus. As you know, or you may not know, but there are some people that say, because they were arrested, that they have the virus. So we have to automatically put them, we automatically put everybody on isolation anyway, but then we do the homework and contact the Department of Health to find out if they're actually telling us the truth. And in most instances, they're not.
Right. Tracy, anything else with this?
Just in terms of that question we just brought up, do you have the capacity, or have you tested incoming inmates or had them tested by the health department?
If we find enough, remember, where there's a questionnaire, they're in isolation, and the nursing staff checks them, and we check their temperature. If there's any symptoms, then obviously there's protocols in place, or we're in contact with the Department of Health, and we're able to get a test right away to get the individual tested. Thank God we didn't have to do that yet.
I'm just wondering, and again, it's food for thought, given the anecdotal and tested information out there from other municipalities and even other countries that have done broad testing, with the number of people that are asymptomatic and positive, have you thought about testing every incoming inmate, just given that it's a moment in time and they're going to be in an isolated population?
If we had the ability to do that, and I don't think the county does, to test everybody, then obviously we would. I think just like our first responders, if they're symptomatic, then we're going to move forward to get them tested right away. The county health department does have tests put aside just for these reasons, and I commend them for that. But there's still a shortage of tests, even here in Ulster County, and to utilize them to people that don't have symptoms is just not the practice at this time. However, if we do have enough, absolutely, I'd love to do it.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Okay. District Attorney Clegg, would you like to
Yes, and I apologize for my lack of sound here. I just want to follow up on what we were just talking about. The office continues to receive requests, and we vet them. If we have anybody that we hear at the jail that is coming up to the end of their sentence, we ask for the defense attorneys to contact us, and we have a willing county court, acting county court judge, who we can get in and we can satisfy their sentence quickly and get them released. Just so you know. So let's talk about the IPVI program. Just so you understand the background, it is a focused deterrence approach, and that's based upon the concept that 1% of the perpetrators commit 60% of the violent acts. So that if we focus on the people that are identified as potentially a chronic problem with respect to domestic violence, we can intercede in that upward and more violent approach that may happen in the future. So the IPVI program's been involved in Kingston for
for the last 3 years. Every year there has been a reduction in domestic incident reports, and specifically with the people that we work with, what happens is we identify them initially. We provide them with notice of the consequences of continuing to do that. We provide immediate support and with crime victims for the victims and let them know that there's support out there for them. We have four different categories. If a person reoffends, we go back and there's a more structured approach to it. The second time around, they are prosecuted, charged and prosecuted. If there is a probationary period, they are supervised during that period, but also there's a relationship that's continued once they were identified up to that point with law enforcement, and we're good? I just hear something on my phone, sorry about that. So anyway, what we have found, we work with the national organization out of John Jay College. It's a national network for safe communities. And they have examined the statistics that we've maintained over the last 3 years. And they tell us that we have the best results of any place in the country. And they were amazed at how good it was. We actually had a 50% reduction in the domestic incident reports from level one to level two, which is beyond they've experienced at any other program throughout the country. So it's a program that's having great benefits to our community. What it does ultimately is provide us with a mechanism for deciding who to take most seriously. So as you move through these categories, you get to category three, and we have to then focus more deterrence. So that may well be incarceration, elevating the charges that are brought against them, and trying to, once again, do everything we can with all the resources involved to communicate that this conduct can't continue. If you get to the A level, that's the most serious and most violent. And that's the fewest, thankfully. But at that point in time, what this program suggests is that we do everything we can from a law enforcement standpoint to mess them up, basically. If we have a charge that we can bring, we bring it. We bring the most serious charge we can bring, and we also use incarceration as the punishment. We also can target them in different ways. Like there are times when these people who are the most serious violators are also involved in drugs or involved in other kinds of crimes, where we can target them in whatever way we can, whether it be petted larceny, the dealing drugs, or whatever it might be, that we target them and make sure that they know that we're going to be watching them, that we're going to be there to prosecute them at whatever level we can, and letting them know that this kind of conduct can't continue. So it's an approach that requires all the attention that we can give it. It is successful at a level that I've now learned is better than any place else in the country. So we want to pursue this. As I said before, I'd love to bring this on a countywide level because it's having such success. So I'll open it up to questions right now.
So I have two, and they kind of relate. So in terms of your plan to expand, do you have a specific plan of how you want to expand it? And then the second is just wondering, like, how much FTE is required just for the program implementation? So not the people who would be doing the things that they would do with or without the program, but just to allow the program to happen, what is the FTE burden? And again, that might change with expansion, I don't know, but that's why I kind of coupled the two together.
Well, just to talk about expansion initially, what we have to do is do an outreach to all the different law enforcement agencies in our county. So it takes two. So we work right now with the Kingston Police Force. We would have to do that with each town police force, etc. and that would take some effort, but that would be the starting place. In terms of organization, we have right now somebody who supervises the program, and we have one investigator that does all the contacts with the offenders, and we would have to expand that obviously at a level of right now is based on what I'm seeing, we probably need another 3 or 4 investigators to be involved.
But just to be clear, with that, if the program didn't exist, that investigator would still be investigating domestic violence calls, correct? Or would that's only because there's IPBI?
So the investigation of the domestic violence incident is done by the local law enforcement agencies. The follow-up is initially done by them, but the secondary and third level and fourth level of contact with these offenders is made by the people who come out of this program. So that would be the investigators themselves that right now are employed by the district attorney's office.
Other questions? Yeah.
So is there money involved with it, costs? Are the incidents that the district attorney is talking about, are they increasing rapidly, leveling off? I mean, we want to do everything we can to curtail this. I don't know whether, if I heard, if there might, the DA might need 2, 3, or 4 more bodies in his staff, which, if in fact that's necessary, that's what the issue is then.
Yeah, the point here is that this is such an effective program, and as you say, it's very targeted. We focus on the people who are most violent and who are heading in the wrong direction, and that intervention can save lives, can save law enforcement time, and can also save the families. So there's a great deal of benefit to this program. What's remarkable here is, as I said, we've had a reduction of domestic interventions over the last 3 years based upon the contacts that have been had, and that the fact that the level one folks have not gone on to level 2, 3, and 4 at the same rate as they have in other studies throughout this country show that we're having a great deal of success of making that initial intervention. So yes, I think it's a very worthwhile program. If we have the manpower to expand it throughout the county, because obviously it's needed throughout the county, we could do a lot of good.
I'd like to add a comment, if I may. About 30% of law enforcement responding to domestic violence issues are killed throughout the country. And that's a pretty high number. I think a program like this is beneficial to the county. Most of the people that are involved in domestic violence, they don't want the individual arrested to begin with, their loved ones. They just want the person to get help. And you're talking about probably the person that is the breadwinner. They may be the father of kids. And so there's a lot of tension in a relationship like that. And having a program like this really does help alleviate and a lot of the potential issues that can happen if there wasn't an intervention. So I'm a big fan of the program.
Tracy?
Thanks, Juan. One of the things that this program provides that most do not is that it's both the carrot and the stick, that these people are there to, one, start a relationship, get to know the folks, let them know from a very straight up point of view where you're heading, if you're going in the wrong direction, where this is going to end up. That seems to have a lot of effect and success. So it also obviously avoids a continuing stopover of every law enforcement agency within that jurisdiction to deal with the later offenses. So I think that it would save a great deal of money overall in the county, and it would also save lives and families.
So the question that I had, thank you, is do you, District Attorney Clegg, do you do you know what the cost would be to expand the program? Have you run those numbers out? And the follow-on to that is, are you talking about it for next year, the expansion for next year, or have you come to the committee to talk about expanding it for this year?
No, I don't think we're ready to expand it this year. We're in the middle of a plague, as you know.
Yep.
And I think that that would be a little too ambitious. But right now, I just want the committee to understand how important this program is. It's something that we want to build on. I can start to do that foundational work right now if the committee thinks that it's something that they'd be interested in moving forward with. Obviously, you won't know whether you're going to do that or not until you get all the details, but I can work on my end to give you those details at the next meeting.
Okay, and can I ask one follow-on question? Thank you. And it's not specific to the program, but it's relevant to now and to the situation we're in. Are you noticing, this is both for the sheriff and the district attorney, increased complaints? Something that I've heard about anecdotally across the country, and given that people are in a confined state and circumstance, are you getting more calls? It's something I worry about on a regular basis.
Right. I know on our end it doesn't seem to be increasing, but there might be reasons for that. What I'm told is a lot of times when these offenses are taking place, the person has an opportunity to go to a friend or somebody else's house to call, to get help, to let the law enforcement community know this is going on. That may not be happening right now because of the social distancing requirements that everybody has. So it may be something that's going on that's unreported. But as far as I see where the charges come in, it has not been a significant increase.
I would agree with the district attorney. I have not seen an increase. It's been relatively eerily quiet, actually, in some instances. We have seen an uptake in business burglaries, robberies. We just had the Stewarts right down the street here robbed the other night. It was Saturday night. So we're seeing an uptake in those type of crimes. People leaving their cars unlocked and their stuff being stolen. We've been telling the businesses to take their cash out of the register and leave the register open because people are going in, and in one instance, it was like 30 seconds, they went in, grabbed the register, and ran out because it was money.
Wow.
So those are the some of the crimes that we see an uptake on.
That's really, I mean, it's so interesting and obvious, and seems obvious now that you mentioned it, the idea that the ability to report goes down in these circumstances. And so I imagine it really is going up. We just haven't been hearing about it. Legislator Hefner? Your volume, your mute.
On the domestic violence issue, I know the state has expanded their domestic violence hotline. It's a number that the governor has been pushing out almost daily now, just for your guys' reference. They've expanded with volunteers and mental health and domestic violence experts. Going back to Tracy, kind of asked my question regarding what District Attorney Clegg was talking about, which was kind of like a timeline, but based on your response to that, I think it would be valuable long-term if you do keep us, you know, updated and just keep it in touch with us on this program, so that when you and your team do feel you're in the position that it's, you know, the more, you know, we're kind of continuing to talk about it, and the more you guys come up with more information, I think it's better, you know, for us to operate that way, especially going into the financial situation we're, you know, already currently in, and, you know, the extent and the difference in the process that it's going to, you know, probably look like this year. But I think there's no reason why we can't use opportunities like this evening to continue to discuss the details and for you to follow up.
That would be my pleasure.
So I think what I would hope, I think that you probably could do some kind of estimation of how much money is being saved, because if John Jay's been identifying the reduction in the highest two levels, which do involve more criminal justice response, putting some kind of dollar sign on how much is saved as a result of this would be really useful. And then also if you can really kind of map out what that initial, what the cost would be to maintain it, so we can balance it to the savings, and then just even an idea of how you might unfold it in the future. I mean, the next time we meet is a whole month from now, so it gives you time to think about, once this pandemic is over, what goals might be. But I do think that having some idea of the other side of how much money is being saved, because I think we've all, it sounds very clear that money is being saved by this, but having real dollar amounts, real with quotes around it, having dollar amounts that are attributed to people not having higher level offenses would be very helpful, I think.
Great.
Any other?
My
best. Oh, sorry, go ahead. Any other comments? All right, so we're looking forward to hearing more about this. Like I said, I imagine the domestic violence is increasing. We just aren't hearing about it. I think that there's probably potentially other funding that maybe we can help you work on to support this as well outside the county, because I think it's very fundable. And I'm happy to help you in any way with that as well.
Sure.
Any other new business? Okay, so in terms of old business, obviously we are putting on hold our corner of the jail for no way of it saying how long, but obviously when the time is right, we will all be happy to gather there together. And hearing, is there anything else anyone else felt they want to mention before we adjourn?
Could I
yeah.
just share for a minute? You know, probably late last year, Sheriff, I mean, there were a little spate of crimes, serious crimes in Kingston, and in the press they talked about you and the office and enforcement pitching in to help with the situation in Kingston. And I know one of your former colleagues, Bobby Nuzzo, told me the cooperation between law enforcement agencies, the sheriff's department in Ulster County has not been replicated in New York State. It's the best in. Just wondering when that news release, when they're asking you folks to come in, what more could you do? I know you had bike patrols. I know you guys had foot patrols. I know you had four-wheeler patrols. In the news article, what more could you have done or do to that you're not already doing?
I think the important thing is we had a double unit that was working sea lines for several months up until the pandemic, and they were working 4 to 12. Working for KPD, they were doing calls, and they were helping them with their calls until this way they had their own detectives work cases because they didn't have the manpower. We also sent detectives over there to help, and we also assigned a new member, so they have two members now, one full-time, one part-time, in their SIU, which is their narcotics unit. Myself and the district attorney are still working to revamp urgent to include KPD, and so that's something that we're still working on, and we're hoping that they'll come on board. And the relationship is still great amongst all of the agencies in the county, so I'm very happy to continue that, and it's been going well so far. And Chief Tinty's got my number, and so does the mayor. If they need something, all they gotta do is pick up the phone and call, and we're there.
John, is John on, or who's on from the county executive's office?
Yeah, John's here. Sorry.
I just wanted to follow up because I got a call from Office of Indigent Legal Services. It was several days ago, but wanting to confirm that the contracts are going in. Do you know if the contracts got sent?
Yeah,
takes me a moment to unmute. They were signed earlier this week.
Oh, perfect. Okay, thanks. All right, with that, I'll take a motion to adjourn.
Hey, could I just ask Shirley for a second? I do know from what I read that in Albany in the budget and through the negotiations, there were some reforms made to the criminal justice laws that were passed. And did you ever get any notification or communication from any, or were you able to write a letter to our representatives in Albany as to what their thinking was on that issue?
Are you talking
both
to
Juan and I?
Okay. Go ahead, Dave.
Sure, lady.
Both Juan and I spoke to both the New York State Senate and the Assembly and made known the concerns that we had with the criminal law reforms that were in place. There's two more sides of that, obviously. There's bail reform and discovery. I know I sat next to Juan and we spoke to the Carl Hastie and a number of assemblymen about the concerns that we had. So we had very direct input into what was going on. And as I say, I was very pleased that they did listen, they did hear, and they did make some important changes.
And just to add on to that, we got a seat at the table. There was no other sheriff except for myself. And NYPD had one of their chiefs there. When we spoke to Assembly Speaker Hastie, who really was against any type of reform at all. I mean, he just wasn't going to have it. But after, I give him credit because he sat there and he listened for a meeting that was supposed to go for 1 hour and went for close to 3 hours. And so it was district attorneys throughout the state, including our own district attorney. And it was a pretty interesting debate, and we explained the unintended consequences that the law had, and how it just wasn't good for the victims and the people of our county, and that they shouldn't use a broad brush to paint everyone in the criminal justice system in the same way as in New York City, because we're all different counties and we're a lot different than New York City. And I also had the opportunity to speak to seven senators at the Majority Leaders Conference Room. And again, I was able to first of all, I was astonished how young some of these senators were. But it was a good conversation. Having the experience of living in a great county like Ulster County and working for the state police and working in New York City, explaining why research is good, but reality is what happens when we're the frontline law enforcement folks that have to knock on the doors like we do. But January 1st, I got a phone call from a mother asking why somebody that was responsible for the death of a daughter was released. And I had to sit and explain that to her. And I use that example and several other examples to the Assembly Speaker and the senators. And I believe a lot of those changes were due in part to all the people that were there that made their points, including our district attorney and myself, in regards to the bail reform, inconsistencies and issues and unintended consequences and discovery. And I don't remember any time that Albany made a law in January and made changes 4 months later, ever. So I'm happy that they did it, but I can tell you they did it, and we were able to have a seat at the table because of folks like Senator Metzger and Senator Skoupis and Assemblyman Cahill, who were able to coordinate us having a seat at that table.
So
to
follow up on the question, so we had talked about a month ago having that more open communication with those state representatives. Unfortunately, the pandemic got in our way. But the good news is the changes have been put through and without that conversation. But so I appreciate you reminding us about that. But luckily things went the right direction. Anything else? Yeah.
Just on a lighter note to the sheriff. I see your new duties now with the social spacing and making sure everything's is a copacetic with the folks on the street, I might just suggest that you get a, like an Humvee and mount the water cannon on the back of it. And your troops can take care of it instantly and you won't have anything to worry about.
So I'm gonna add to that because I know what you're saying. You know, I'm a Marine. You know, I support the Constitution and the governor's orders are not the law and individuals still have rights and this is still a free society. But what I asked the people at that conference the other day was that if we could just keep our distance until this pandemic passes, then we can get together all we want afterwards. And it's really a safety thing. But of course, it's common sense. And, you know, the last resort would be to get somebody a ticket or arrest somebody. I mean, that
well,
would
the only, do that. The only reason I brought it up is I got a water cannon for sale, that's all.
And with that, I'll take a motion to adjourn.
We adjourn.
I have a motion. Is that your motion, John? A second?
Yes, ma'am.
I'll second.
Okay, Hefner, seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Thank you